Welcome to Evolutionary Men, where we learn to lead in life and love with head, heart, and guts. This is for men wanting to deepen their presence in the world, clarify their purpose, more easily connect with their power, and find ease in dating and relationships. I'm your host, Jason Lang. Let's get started. I'm excited to announce that doors are now open for the men's group experience. This is your chance to join a powerful brotherhood of men ready to grow, lead, and live with purpose. If you're done playing small and ready to rise, this is where it starts. Just head over to mens.group to learn more. All right. Welcome back. Super excited to be here back with Luke Adler for another installment of our Heart of Shadows series. It's been a little bit here, but very excited to dive in as we are approaching another cohort soon here. And had an idea for an episode recently that I reached out to Luke about that he was like, hell yeah, let's do it. And in short, one of the things I like about Luke and why I like running the program we do together is we kind of have the shared commitment to basically bursting the myth of the kind of facilitator that has it all figured out, right? That I'm up here, I've fixed myself, I've done all my shadow work, I'm good to go. So I'm just going to work on you, in that we are both men who are very passionate about what we do. I would say very highly skilled facilitators of shadow work and other modalities. And we're human beings that are in process and have messy, imperfect lives and don't always show up in the ways we maybe want to in our relationships or in our work. And so I really just kind of wanted to dive in that and kind of, you know, as Luke was saying earlier, we're going to peel back the curtain here and just show a little bit of what's going on for in our lives in terms of some patterns, or for me, a particular experience I had earlier this year. That was, 20 years into this work, basically for me, still a huge edge, like quivering in the seats, edge kind of stuff. I'll just welcome you back here. And if you have anything you want to share along those lines.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, this is great. I mean, I love, and I have always loved calling myself out on the carpet as a style of teaching. And, I think maybe 15, 20 years ago when I was getting into my professional career in this world, I felt like, oh, we have to like put on this air that we have it all together and really not be transparent about what's going on. And I think that's a huge disservice to people. And I still work with a lot of folks who think and project me onto a pedestal and think I've got it together as a business person and a father and a husband. And I'm this kind of perfect picture that all men should aspire to. And I cringe when I hear people say that, describe that, or even act towards me in a way that suggests they see me in that kind of light. And I'm really appreciative of one of our mentors who said, to teachers that act that way, that act as if, they have attained the ultimate stages of enlightenment, of nirvikalpa samadhi. There's no thoughts in their mind, and their life flows perfectly, and it just moves with the river of consciousness, and everything manifests before them in this perfected way. And our teacher said to him, "Get out of the clouds and get into the mud with all of us. Right? The real work is here on earth. It's painful. It's messy. You get knocked down, and you have to pick yourself back up." And God, if that's true. And to be honest, I had to graduate to that work. I was someone who thought the goal was to be in bliss and joy all the time. And I had to get to a point where I could actually consider that there was this whole other part of the path that was messy and uncomfortable and oriented around feeling. So it's my opening salvo. The thing that I've been, the edge that's really up for me now is my daughters are 10 and 7. And they're very attentive and have been to me and my wife and our behavior and the way we model love for each other and how present we are with them. And I'm reminded when I look at, particularly at my 10-year-old, I remember paying very close attention to my parents at that age. And I could tell what they were feeling. And if their thoughts, if their words matched up with what they were feeling, because I was tuned in. You know, a lot of kids are tuned in. They can feel the emotional environment in a family. My daughter's very intuitive. She's very empathic. And she calls us out. She calls me out. She calls Emily out when we're discordant. And she doesn't hold back at all because we have a family value to be self-expressed. Here's my stuff. I give. I serve at work. I serve others. And I love it. It's very fulfilling. And then, you know, over time, I start to get worn down a bit. And then I come home from work and I don't have the energy for my kids, let alone my wife. I don't have the energy I want to have. And it's a cliche. It's embarrassing. I'm sitting there on the couch, or if I'm really exhausted, I'll go downstairs and watch TV. And, you know, I might have 4, 6, maybe 8 more good years with my oldest daughter before she just doesn't want anything to do with me because she wants to be in her friend group. And it's heartbreaking for me to think like that I'm not going to have the energy and to have presence with them. And that they're going to go through their, you know, their brief childhood, what remains, and not have memories of dad. And, you know, look back and go, yeah, dad was there, but he wasn't present. He wasn't really there. So the big edge I'm working on now is actually how can I build my life around being present for them? And I don't know that structure yet. I'm very attuned to it. But last night, for example, my littlest one, Juliet, was like she was drawing on the counter, and I was sitting in the chair on my phone, and she peeked up at me and I peeked up at her, and then she hid behind the counter. I realized, oh, she wanted to play like a hide and seek thing. And I could feel in me, like, I just want to go back to the phone and be checked out. And then this other voice was there like, Luke, this is the moment to show up for her. And it took me a minute to kind of negotiate between the me that wanted to just stop and the me that wanted the deeper desire, which was to really be present for her. And I think because I just had a vacation. I had some energy and I put the phone down and I played with her a bit, and it was really fun. And I felt like it was a really deep win of my soul to do that. But in reflecting on it, I'm like, I could see Jason in 3 or 4 weeks, you know, as I go through my work schedule for an entire month, I don't know if I'm going to have the energy to put that phone down and play with Juliet Corazon, and, you know, let alone have the presence of mind to be with Emily, with my wife, and you know, enjoy those relationships. So I'm touching a sensitive core in here, and maybe we can circle back to me and kind of dive in a little deeper. But I'll kind of pass it to you. And
I know my versions of that. I mean, for me, part of the pain I have around that is the like that sense, particularly when I know it's happening and I see the active disengagement, and it's like, oh, I know I'm going to regret this in 10 years. And here I am doing that thing anyway, which for me is almost always is like getting sucked into my phone. Or I've really become aware in the last months with my daughter, because she's about to go to TK this fall and then really kind of get ingested into the, you know, K through 12, like really gone. And we have another child coming later this year. So it's like she starts school in a month and a half. And so the endless summer days of just her and I and not another child, they're like they're coming to an end. Like there will never be this type of relationship between us again. And yet I'll still get sucked into my phone or be exhausted myself and do the kind of like, it's kind of hard to explain, but like direct her to kind of play with herself versus the, what I've seen so transformative for her is when I enter her world. So when I actively enter and engage into her world, whether that's imaginary play or hide and seek or like, I'm going to come be with you in your world, whatever it is you're enacting right now, which takes fucking energy and presence that sometimes I'll have not taken care of myself or worked out or gotten enough sleep or handled work in a way that I feel the agitation of that in my body. And then it has me disengage with her. So one of the things, yeah, I'm really trying to work in the next month and a half is okay to just give myself over to my time with her, you know, in an appropriate way, but it's fucking hard. It's so hard because there are times where I just need nothing. But I can feel the loss of not having that and feel the loss of not having that with her and not having had that enough myself in my family system, like, and just the deep repercussions that's had on my life. So I totally feel you on that one. So deep. And yeah, embarrassing because it's, you know, I keep doing this thing and I don't want to be doing it. Right, which is often a gateway for work we do with men into kind of looking into some of the shadow there of, you know, what's going on in our life, which I think we can circle back to. The tale I want to share is it's a very specific moment from earlier this year where, my wife is now halfway through a pregnancy. And so it was very early on. We're older, higher risk. And so we were in a phase in the first trimester where just to be overly cautious, sex was off the table for a while. And we were a couple of weeks into it and I just started to notice some of my old behaviors coming back of kind of like isolating, distancing, feeling really horny at the same time. In other areas of my life, I was like, we were deep in a program. Like I was just felt so on fire. I had so much energy coming through me that, and I didn't really have anywhere to put it with her in a sense. But so long and short of it is it's like, it's a weeknight after one of the group calls I led and she had been going to bed super early because she was just exhausted and really wanting to play things safe. So we had this different experience where I'd come out of my evening calls and she wasn't available for connection, like even just, you know, non-sexual. And there was some dumb TV show I was watching at the time. So I fired it up and then there I go to my phone and I'm feeling a little randy and boom, there I am just looking at porn, just have this intense amount of energy going through me. And the way our old place was set up, you know, I'm like looking at the TV, looking at the phone. And then I turn to my left and I see she's actually sitting at our dining room table the whole time she's been there. And it was an instantaneous, like my body went to this very young place where I got up, I walked across the room to grab a cup of water. I think I'd been watching The Daily Show or something. And I like made a comment about the show and then just sat right back down and fired up another show I was going to watch. I didn't engage at all, like kind of out of just panic and terror. And then she goes to bed. So she goes to bed. And so I'm sitting there on the couch, like my heart's thumping. I'm like, oh my God, not only did she just catch me looking at porn, which is a sensitive thing for us from our last pregnancy and stuff, but I just like totally ignored it and was a coward and like walked up to her and totally avoided it and didn't say anything. And then just like went back to my couch. And it was, you know, similar to your moment where I'm like, fuck, this is the moment. Like, this is the moment. I'm pretty sure she saw. So there's two ways this can play out. I can not say anything and it can like fester. She's probably going to lose a lot of trust for me. Or I can go have a conversation and it's probably going to suck right now. But, you know, maybe there's a way to salvage this. So I'm sitting on the couch. So I get up, I go into our bed. She's like basically asleep. And I wake her up. I'm like, hey, do you have a minute to talk? And she's like, yeah, why? And I'm like, so I was just looking at porn out on the couch. And she like sits up in bed. And long and short of it is she hadn't seen me. Like she didn't know what I was doing. But she's like, that's so interesting. Cause I felt when you got up and walked over towards me, I was like, wow, this feels like a really young part of him right now. Like he feels really young right now. And she thought it was cause I don't know, I was about to watch a video game show after the Daily Show. And I just leaned in and, you know, kind of talked about what my experience was. And it was so vulnerable, so vulnerable. And in the past, she might have had some pretty strong reactions to it, but she just like was there with me in it. And we kind of ended up doing actually some pretty deep work. It was pretty wild where I identified part of my patterning of, you know, I was a very late bloomer. I didn't have sex till my 20s. Didn't really have any relationship experiences when I was young. So I basically went from nothing to full sex. There was no like phase of my life where it was like making out or petting or groping each other or the things you can do in between full intercourse. So for me, my nervous system had constructed this reality. Well, if intercourse isn't on the table, there's nothing on the table, right? Like there was no middle ground for connecting with erotic energy of any kind. And it was so intense to like surface this with her. And then, you know, we actually constructed an evening later that week where we basically pretended like we were a high school boyfriend and girlfriend that couldn't have sex. And we're like watching a show and I was just kind of feeling her up on the couch and we were making out. And it was so fucking nourishing to me. Like I couldn't believe what it did for like my body, mind, and like relaxing this thing in me. And then she obviously loved it because we were just making out. So she was getting all this just touch and contact and oxytocin. But it was that kind of shadow moment of I saw this process of shame kick up in me and an unwillingness to kind of move towards that, which many times in my life I would just deny it or ignore it or lie or, you know, go around it. But it was still an edge for me. Like that whole process came up instead of, you know, and the other funny thing I forgot to mention was I had identified a couple of days earlier, like, I think I should have a conversation with her that I don't want this pregnancy to go to the same as the last one where I go hypo around our sexuality because we can't have sex. Like I want some kind of eroticism to be online. And I was like, yeah, that'd be a really proactive, great conversation to lead. And then I never let it. I just totally like ignored it until that moment, like confronted me with it. And then, you know, we got there. But for me, it was a great example of, you know, yeah, this kind of shadow material in my nervous system, this belief, this way of being, and this relationship to shame that I really had to come forward. And, you know, I've been doing this work a long time. You and I have facilitated some deep, dark shit. And I was terrified to have this conversation. I mean, terrified of, oh my God, this is so awkward. What did I do? She's going to be so upset with me. I've totally betrayed her trust. And it ended up, because I went towards it head on, actually not being a thing and creating a deep possibility for connection for us on the other side. When she was like, wow, I can see you have this need. How can we play with that? And it created this really fun role play for us that we're actually due to have again, I'm realizing. But yeah, that was one that I think I even forgot to share that with our group because so much was going on. maybe a couple months ago. And I was just like, to me, that is the outcome of 20 years of work. It's not that the old patterns in my nervous system didn't come out. It's that I was able to take a different action, right? I was able to finally have a different response in this context I'd kind of been stuck in for a long time. And to me, that is what is possible in this work we do. And, you know, it's not like it magically fixed it. Some of those patterns have come up again, and I'm going to have to reconfront them. This is part of my lifelong process, but it is getting better and easier. I think that's the other big win for me is like, wow, that's something I would not have been able to do 4 years ago.
That is a fantastic, that is a fantastic story, tale, and journey that you had. And I mean, that that moment on the couch, that whole, I could feel the youngness in me, you know, as you shared that, just, God, I feel that little boy who's like, and the little boy going like, well, if I didn't get caught, I'll just kind of keep it down there. You know, I think that moment, Jason, was like, that is such a radical moment of growth, because, you know, the negotiator in there could have just said, well, let's just sleep on it and see if there's a vibe in the morning and kind of play that game of like, maybe if she didn't see it, no big deal, right? I'm like, many of us would be like, well, that's fine, you can do that. But I think what you what you did is you're like, no, this isn't aligned with my values of in my relationship and my values of myself, of my own love for myself and myself as a model for this work. So I really commend you for that. It's just such a powerful move. I mean, I'm just listening to that feeling like, wow. You know, I think the gift in a story like that is it makes me reflect, and anyone who's probably listening, on where am I not leaning in, you know, not catching it. Where am I going? It's fine. You know, it's whatever. It's not a big deal. You know, it's who cares? Just, you know, you're just blowing off some steam. You're just resting, whatever, you know. We could create tons of social context around that to normalize it. But in the context of your commitment to truth, flow, and vitality, you know, vitality in your body and in your relationship, that's just an awesome example of catching the shadow, catching where we want to go to sleep.
That sleep is a great metaphor for how that shows up in me, of just kind of wanting to disengage from all that and pretend, go away, and just go away from that conflict or that realization. And the other thing that just struck me in that moment was how just like utterly familiar it was. Just like, oh, I know this moment so well, and it's been so painful, and I know exactly where it goes. You know, like I know where this behavior takes me. And that was the choice point of, well, I got to do something different, right? I got to do something different and trust my partner here that the work we've cultivated with each other and the safety we've cultivated has space for this, right? So I don't have to pretend this didn't happen. And okay, why did it happen? What am I needing? What am I not sharing? What are my habits from my family system? And suddenly that just opened up. And we were so much more connected. It was like profound to me of, you know, we talk a lot about shame in our program, of how, ooh, I could just feel how strong it wanted to keep it in versus, okay, no, this is the thing I actually want to connect about now. But that's also why it was so tremendously healing.
The shadow that it's hitting up against for me, that's related to the stuff around my daughters, is that sexual energy, use the word eroticism, that living force that when we're in relationship to it can be really vitalizing, particularly in the context of kind of awakened relationship or a willingness to turn towards our shadow in ourselves and in our relationship and in whatever enterprise we're a part of. And when sexual energy is not online, if sexual energy is not online, it means the energy is most likely in our head. It could also be in our heart. We could be very heart oriented and very head oriented. So there could be a lot going on around our head and our hearts and just a not much happening down in our pelvis. And again, I like to come back to classical yoga and these kind of mystical traditions that really villainize sexuality and say it's a distraction and it's, you know, a place of even evil in certain traditions that there should be all kinds of rules around it. But the actuality of it in physiology and energy is that if our sexual energy is not online, we will lose vitality pretty quickly because the genitals and the kidneys are tied in together around endocrine function, around hormone function. So if you don't have cortisol and pregnenolone, the building block of hormones, and testosterone and progesterone and estrogen, if these aren't being vitalized through your system, not just through the monthly cycles, but through sexual energy that we're in touch with in a healthy way, right? And this is kind of the moral of your story is getting, at least in an energetic level, let's stay in a healthy relationship to sexuality. The truth is that we're forced to. This is, well, at least in terms of physiology, we can't get away from it. So the point I'm trying to get to, I'm like going on a rant here about energetics and physiology, is that my tendency and my wife's too is to get the energy more centered around my head and my heart, and to really lose touch with our, you know, my pelvis. Same for her. So we really can go to this kind of asexual place where we're very happy being of service to the people in our careers, service to our children, and even service to each other to a degree. And what happens for me is I start to go a little mad because I'm serving my patients, my clients, and I'm coming from my heart, I'm coming from my head. And then Emily comes home and she wants to give me the daily report. And she wants me to listen to her for now 30, 40, 60 minutes. I've just listened to people for 7 hours, counseling, coaching, guiding. And I can feel my nervous system just shuddering as she shares. And like if we, sometimes we can interrupt that. We can start to kiss and hold each other. And my whole vital system, like you said, comes right back online. I feel so much better. But she and I both have some shadow around this where we just kind of lose touch with that center and it becomes kind of, I guess, numb. Numb is the feeling. And there has to be some work that gets put in there to reinvigorate it. Where I start to get in trouble personally is I start to search for that vital energy again, and I go into extreme sports. So I'll put myself in dangerous situations, whether it's whitewater rafting or mountain biking. All of a sudden, this pusher in me comes online where I start to want to find that energy. And it starts to get a little dangerous in my mind body where I'm like hunting for it, where really it's right there with her. But it's a place that we have some blinders on in our relationship. It's another part of this whole edge where I just kind of forget about my pelvis. And the truth is, Jason, that when I'm in touch with my sexual energy or my vital force down there, my facilitator work and my work and my career is so much more fun. You know, it's one of the reasons why I love Heart of Shadow with you is because we have to have that center online to do the work we do, because we've got to be present at all levels with people. But I can feel that resonance in what you're sharing from this deeper perspective that if you're not in touch with your sexual energy in a healthy form, you're going to get tired, you know, and you're going to reach for porn or you're going to reach for an extreme sport or sugar or something, because we have to feel, we crave that kind of living experience.
Totally. I love how you frame that need for a sense of aliveness. So, right, when it ended up happening in that moment, when I leaned in and we had this like wild conversation and we're talking about my, you know, my history as a teenager, and it, like, it was radical in a sense, but I felt very alive. She felt there was more energy in her body and my body. And we were like here with each other of like, wow, this is like a, this moment is alive right now. It's not a routine. It's not a habit. It's the vital unknown in a sense. And we've been together for many years now, and here's something new, right? Here's a vital energy between us. And I, you know, you, it struck me in another sense of, I can actually feel how the cost, had I not brought that forward, I would have been holding that anxiety and shame and like distancing myself more from her the next day. And that would have been like that kind of stagnation in my body I would have been holding would have completely changed how I showed up with my daughter. And it would have completely changed how she experienced seeing us the next day or two. She'd see me being really distant from my partner, which teaches her all kinds of lessons that she's gonna, you know, she's already in a lot of ways absorbed about what a relationship's supposed to look like, that I'm always mindful of. And that aliveness, that energy liberation that came on the other side, it allowed me to be more present for her. And it's so true. When Violet and I are online in that full capacity, I have so much more energy to be present for Ruby. Like it's connecting for me in a way where I'm like, wow, there's actually more fire in the system, because it's not all just being generated from my head or my heart. I'm actually allowing it to circulate up, and it kind of powers my ability to be present for her. But when I neglect that and I go hypo, like to me, totally, I dissociate in that same way, I have so much less capacity to be present for her and for Violet in my life. So yeah, it's cool to kind of feel these connections and realize just how important that is, and how, you know, at least in my life, how utterly lacking sexually connected models of parenthood have been for me. Of like, wow, these are responsible parents, and it's totally clear they're still boning. Like, you can feel the, you know, the connection. It's not something I've witnessed a lot in the world, you know, and just, I think, because it is rare and it is hard, and it takes a real devotion to this deeper aliveness that I think you just evoked.
I mean, you're kind of hitting this like pay dirt shadow wound that I think probably many, many people have. Like you said, clearly we haven't had models for this. That's in a large part why we're not aware of it. But is it just habit, Jason? Is it just hardwiring, you think, that we just forget about our sexual vitality, that we're so focused on being of service, or we're focused on making it in the world, that, I mean, obviously that all makes sense in terms of fight or flight nervous systems and nourishing nervous systems, but here we are calling ourselves out on the carpet in this podcast, and now I feel like I'm really confronting this, like if this is an edge for us, which means it's an edge for lots of people, and I know it is, you know, how do we stay aware of it? You know, what is that blind spot that, I mean, we're looking at the social factors, the genetic factors, but there's a lot in there. There's something in there that we're not seeing it.
You know, for me, if I'm not doing practices that regulate my nervous system, it shows up in my family. I don't have the energy to show up. I don't have the energy to connect with my wife. And, you know, there's also a commitment to keep reminding ourselves of in our partnership. This is a value. This is important to us. When this is online, our whole family system is better. It's so true for my family. When we are connecting in that way and getting nourished by each other, whether it's sexual connection, just emotional intimacy, or yeah, you know, going into those vulnerable places of the unknown, of taking some risks with each other after a number of years, it fires up the whole system. You know, it's actually a gift to my existing child, my forthcoming child, the people around us. But it takes real commitment, because it's so easy to go into autopilot, and particularly when we're tired, you know, which is there any issue that plagues more men into a, you know, adult and elderhood than just energy management and availability? You know, I want to, but I'm just too exhausted. I just need to go offline. You know, that so many guys I know experience that, including myself. And we think the phone, the tuning out is restorative, but it's not actually restorative. Right? I think that's the trick. Like, I never feel better after making that choice. I never feel better. It's these things that evoke aliveness, which means, yeah, being in contact with that sexual energy, that flow, that creative life force, you know, that pumps through all of us, and being willing to acknowledge it and prioritize it. I think that's, you know, an important thing, that it has to be a priority. And there's all kinds of reasons. Yeah. You know, family of origin, culture, that we don't, where, you know, we're taught not to, and we're having to shake all that free in some pretty profound ways. But all of this work, I think we're pointing to in the heart of shadow, is whether you do it or not, at least you have a choice, right? Like, do I have the choice in that moment to engage or not? Previous points in my life, I didn't have the choice. I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the resiliency in myself to like dive in and have that conversation and know, oh shit, if this goes sideways, I got Luke, I got my boys, I can call guys up and get some support and help work my way through this. And when, you know, having that now emboldens me to take some of these risks and realize like, oh yeah, okay, cool. I don't get to be done. Don't get to be done with any of this work. It's going to continually show up, particularly in, you know, long-term relationships and family, which is, you know, why it's such a profound engine for growth and part of why I'm in it in the first place, that sometimes I have to remind myself and just, you know, get married and have a kid. It's like, I was pretty clear. Like, there's a deeper version of myself on the other side of engaging with this. It's not the case for everyone, but for me, I was pretty clear. I was like, I could live in my little kind of bachelor insulated bubble for the rest of my life without, you know, really getting into some of this deep stuff that I know relationship and committing to someone and then having a kid is going to bring up. Cause there's no, you know, there's obviously there's an escape valve in the meta sense of exiting, but there's really no escape valve. Cause whatever I try to escape by leaving this relationship is going to show the fuck up right in my next one. So it's like, okay, might as well deal with what's here.
We're hitting this kind of blind spot in humanity around healthy sexual energy, and how when that's not online, a significant part of our being is not online. And, you know, it hits up against massive levels of socialization around sex, sexuality, the purpose of sex. I mean, one of the things I've been contemplating the last 3 months is all of those drivers, like particularly drivers around porn or drivers around like an attractive woman, at some level, it's a baseline biological driver to just want to procreate, to just want to, the body wants to perpetuate the species. And then we add on all this meaning to it around power and prestige and self-worth. And that's all the meaning making of the mind wanting to put significance around it. But at a base level, our bodies are just looking for something attractive to genetically reproduce and keep this species going. And then we kind of, you know, have all of these conversations about sex and sexuality and sex culture. But at a primal level, that's all that we're here to do in terms of biology. Now, here you and I come along and the spirit of transformation comes along and says, wait a second, we're here for more than that. We're here to grow and to heal and to evolve as beings, as souls inside of these bodies. Then the conversation becomes much more dynamic. We're looking at what we're attracted to, why we're attracted to it, how having sexual vitality flow through us is this wellspring of energy that can continue to serve us. And so there is this really, there's a vast invitation for us to keep exploring this. And I think I can tell this is a place where, you know, you and I will be likely making some very specific offerings, although we do that in Heart of Shadow. We work on this quite a bit. But even outside of that, I could see us making more specific offerings on this topic as a live evolutionary edge in the work, because this really is the driver of polarity between masculine and feminine. And there's so much shadow in it, historical shadow in it that keeps us kind of bound up and confused, and then not making that big courageous move that you made, you know, that says, you know what, I have the consciousness and the skill to have this conversation, and I'm going to do it. As opposed to the shadow experience of this, which I want to offer a phrase here. When we're shadowed around our relationship, and definitely around sexuality, we start to make choices that feel and look like a Hollywood movie. They're like scenes right out of the rom-coms and the dramas out of Hollywood. They're the best shows. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves making those same statements or behaving in the same way we see on TV. And it's because we're acting from the most unconscious place. That's just a perpetual story in humanity. And Hollywood is this great server of our shadow reflecting back to us. And so I sometimes find myself and Emily, like, we'll say things that sound so cliche, sounds like they came right out of a terrible Zac Efron movie. And I'm like, there's no living energy in that. It's just this asleep phrase that I've heard occur over and over. The cliche in your moment would have been to just not say anything. Like, it's just so uncommon to really catch those moments and be courageous and feel life force return, and to not go have to crash your mountain bike down a steep thing or surf the big wave or bury yourself in work, but to pause and interrupt the unconsciousness. That's the big move that we're offering in Heart of Shadow, is catch yourself, see that you have a choice, try to make the courageous choice, you know, and if you don't, at least you can bookmark it and go, yeah, okay, I'm gonna work on this, bring it to my men. Let's keep fighting for freedom.
Beautifully put. Yeah. You know, we wanted to kind of pull the curtain back here to show you that we're still involved in this process. Right? We are men who are actively engaged with figuring out our own shadows so we can show up in the ways we want in life. And it's always vulnerable. And sometimes we're hard on ourselves, and sometimes we get disappointed in ourselves, but you just keep moving forward. And you'll have that moment where that realization comes. You're sitting on the couch. There's your kid that wants to play. Oh, I could fall asleep here, or I can stretch into something. Or I could have that conversation that I didn't want to have. And it's more generative on the other side. It's definitely what we've seen in this work, is there's a lot of energy inside of you that shadow work can really unleash. And so as we close things out here, yeah, Luke and I are currently running two cohorts of this program a year. We have one coming up this fall. You can just go to heartofshadow.com to learn about the dates and even register now to get involved. We go deep. It's been an amazing time in this program so far. So if you've been sitting on the fence, it's time. We're here for you.
Come out and play with us, guys. It's amazing work. And I think Jason's story really, and my story to some degree, catching those moments. It's catching moments where vitality can come back into our lives and moments where we can just keep losing it. And there's not a supplement, a surgery, an intervention that's going to give that to you. It's really the design of the soul that we have to be responsible. We have to have our own volition to respond to moments where we get to be free or not. And having a group of men who are committed to that, it doesn't just make it twice as more doable. It makes it 10 times more doable to have a life that really starts to flow. And if you're resonating with what we're saying, you know, sign up for the next cohort. You want to do a discovery call with Jason or I, we're happy to do that. It's been an amazing journey, and it's only continuing. So yeah, come find us.
I'm excited to announce that doors are now open for the Men's Group Experience. This is your chance to join a powerful brotherhood of men ready to grow, lead, and live with purpose. If you're done playing small and ready to rise, this is where it starts. Just head over to mens.group to learn more. If you're interested in working with me around dating, relationships, or your masculine presence in the world, just go to evolutionary.men/apply.